Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Good to have you along. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to this Monday of the solar phenomenon. I guess that's how we'd call it, right?
So, yeah.
There you go.
Just for you, Neil.
Okay, thank you. Yes. We're going to see how many times we can use the word eclipse in our conversation this hour. That's the goal. Actually, we're talking money today, and you know, I don't know if you get concerned about the moon rotations, if that means you should pack more money away in your sock or not. I'm not sure.
I don't buy to that philosophy.
Sure, but okay.
It's an event. Take it in. I don't know.
We are going to talk money today. Yeah. Remind me of a little poem I heard a long time ago. It goes like this: "That money talks, I'll not deny. I heard it once. It said goodbye."
Yeah, it's about it.
And many, we might be at a point now where you've got too much month left at the end of your money. And we're going to get some great advice today with our good friend Ken Franke, who is returning to the program. Ken's founder and president of Kenneth Franke & Company. And he's a speaker and writer and has presented the biblical principles of finances on radio for over 30 years, been the financial analyst for SRN News and a regular guest on Moody Radio, and has been on a variety of other places as well. Certified financial planner and a member of Financial Planning Association, and he was also the founding board member, past chairman of Kingdom Advisors. And we always love talking with Ken, but we probably should talk a little bit about the eclipse, right? Because Ken is talking to us from Asheville, and I think Ken, don't they? They've got up at the Smoky Mountains, at the top of the mountain, they've got an observation going on today, I think, too, don't they? So I imagine there's probably a few extra people in town.
Hi, Neil. Well, you're absolutely right. We're trying not to go out on the road.
I've heard that nationwide that, the traffic is going to be kind of almost unbelievable in a lot of places.
Well, a lot of people celebrating the creation.
Yeah? Well, we shouldn't be surprised, I guess, that the planets are hung in space. But Psalm 19 talks about that, right?
Absolutely. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And I was thinking about that when thinking about finances. And, you know, one of the things I do when I teach a stewardship class at church is I begin it with images that I've collected over the years, from NASA and others, of the heavens. There's hundreds of thousands of galaxies and all these things, from the Hubble telescope. And I always talk about how the same God that created all of that, put all of that into place, is the same God that gives us our directions for living a fulfilling and productive life for Him in the Bible. And kind of drawing it down to say, this is the same God. The same God that, that did all of that is giving us the principles that are best for us. He did His very best for our very best, the way I say it. And I think that's a great reminder to think of the big picture and, of course, eternity, and keeping our view on that.
Mm. Well, we're looking forward to having a great hour together. And, by the way, Ken is available for the hour. And so I want to just open up the phone lines right away, give you an opportunity. We're talking financial questions today. Ken, the certified financial planner. And he's been advising people in finances for a long time. So if there's some questions you have, maybe it's about investments. Maybe it's about, what your portfolio should look like. If you want to talk, gold or mortgages or building up savings or, retirement planning, higher ed costs, it's that time of year as well. You're thinking about those things, maybe even how to help your kids understand better finances. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Let me give the phone number out. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. So you're welcome to give us a call. We'll have the lines open, talk your money questions today. Or you can give us an email if it's easier to submit your question online. You go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. You can submit your question online, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith and submit your question. Ken, you've been doing money management and advising for a long time. You've seen a few ups and downs in the market. Right now, with Dow's up over 21,000, is that unexpected, unprecedented? Does that mean that the economy is doing great?
Well, I suppose anytime the Dow hits new highs, it's unprecedented in the sense that they haven't hit those numbers before. This isn't at a new high now, but it had been recently in the last few weeks. But, I think it's, in the big picture, a reflection of several things. One, the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates extremely low, and that has encouraged companies that can borrow money at just historically low rates and they haven't been, interestingly enough, reinvesting that money in manufacturing or anything like that, but they have been buying their shares back, and that's been driving prices up. The other thing that's been happening, however, is that at the low interest rates, companies have been able to continue, not record profits right now, but they've gone through a cycle of prolonged profit increases that have encouraged investors. And they watched that happening, and despite all the talk about a gloomy economy and slow growth, a lot of companies have been doing very well profitably. And the third thing is that's influencing that is the administration, talking about reducing regulations on companies, reducing taxes for individuals and corporate taxes, and all of those things are kind of built into where people think stock prices can go. So they're always a little bit ahead of the game. If some of those things don't materialize, yeah, things may change and prices may drop, but all of those things have contributed over the last several years to this market going up for almost a record length of time and for a bull market after a recession.
Well, I guess that's always the question, right, is how long does it keep going up? Because most of us probably, have that investment theory that we should buy low and sell high, but we never know how high is up, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's a great observation because one of the 1920s, really a brilliant investor and economist, Bernard Baruch, often observed that when the markets continue to go up, more and more people come to believe they'll never go down again, and when the markets continue to go down, more and more people come to believe they'll never go up again. And the reality of neither of those things has ever proven to be the case. The markets go up and down. And normal ups and downs are, what we ought to accept. We've gotten to the point, though, where we've had so little volatility for 8 or 9 years now that's what people have come to accept to believe is normal, especially people who are just getting into the market for the first time. The reality is we almost should expect, because this is what history has proven, every year we ought to have at least a 20% drop in the market. We ought to have 5 and 10% drops on a regular basis. And today, if you listen to the commentators, they'll talk about, I think we're going to have a correction soon. This could be major, and they ask them, what do you think it could be? Well, 10%. Some people might say, it could be as much as 20%. Well, those are just perfectly normal in the history of the marketplace. So we've kind of got our expectations, I think, maybe a little bit unrealistic for people right now.
Well, of course, we've talked, I think, probably every time we've gotten together, talk about how fear seems to be the dominant message, I guess, when it comes to this, right? I mean, and certainly as for Christians, that's not the way in which we should be investing or thinking.
Well, faith and fear shouldn't coexist, at the same time. And God gives us every reason to believe that He has our best interests at heart. He gives us the principles for each area of our lives, not just our finances. And when we follow those principles, we can have confidence. We can be confident in our circumstances. We can have confidence in the decisions that we make. We'll have consistent behavior as a witness to those people around us. And we're able to give generously, of not only our resources, but our time and our talent, all because we manage our lives according to biblical principles.
Ken Franke is my guest today. He's founder and president of Kenneth Franke & Company and is a certified financial planner. And he was a founding board member, past chairman of Kingdom Advisors. And he's been helping us with our finances over the years and has done frequent radio conversations and presenting biblical principles on finances for about three decades. We're honored to have him with us back again here on Connecting Faith. Love to have you join the conversation. You have some money questions, whether it's investments, retirement, medical costs, higher education, maybe emergency fund, all those things. Love to have you join in. Here's the phone number, 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. We'll talk more with Ken Frank in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about some of the top money concerns for Americans. So one of those paying for medical costs. We'll get Ken's perspective on maybe how we can reduce those and make wise use of the dollars there. All that coming up. So that was one of those questions for us in terms of finances. We accept that God's grace is enough, but how much is enough otherwise? Talking financial planning and advice today. Phone lines are open for you to join in at 877-93-FAITH. And maybe you're wondering about some costs that you have, concern about standard of living, or it's related to retirement, whatever it might be. You're welcome to join in, maybe helping your kids. How much do you help and when and how? Maybe just giving them, your younger children, good advice about money management. Ken Franke is my guest today, helping us answer those questions, founder and president of Kenneth Franke & Company. He's a member of the Financial Planning Association, and he is a founding board member, past chairman of Kingdom Advisors, has spoken on biblical principles of finance for a number of years. Joining us today. Ken, one of the top money concerns for America in 2017, as I looked online, a little report the other day, said number one was paying for medical costs. I heard a program over the weekend, someone suggesting that over the course of a retiree's life, they should have a plan to spend $400,000 on medical expenses. I know you've had a little experience with some of those expenses recently. How do we plan for that big ticket item?
Yeah, that's it is pressing on a lot of people's minds, especially when you look at the rising cost of insurance premiums and that type of thing under the Affordable Care Act. And you know, I think it's important to there's three things to consider. You know, two things really. One thing is, why are medical costs so high? Well, if you look back at the thing that drives prices, it's usually more money. The more money that pursues something, the higher the prices of that, whatever that good is. We saw it in housing. You know, when you make easy credit available, it drives up the prices. More people buy houses, and they speculate, and it drove up the prices of houses. We see the same thing in education. You know, with readily available education loans from the government, you know, the cost of education has skyrocketed. And that's what we've seen in medicine as well. That the more money that we have borrowed for Medicaid and Medicare have largely driven up the cost of medicine. And now, of course, we have the subsidies for the insurance premiums under the Affordable Care Act. Well, anytime the government gets involved and isn't allowing the marketplace to really set prices for an item, and they come in and they bring a lot more money in, it drives the price of whatever they're coming under, whether it's housing, or education, or medical. So that's really the source of these prices going up largely is that. Now, the second thing is that a principle in economics is that if something is impossible to sustain, it won't be. You know, if something can't happen, it won't happen. And the reality is the average retiree cannot afford $400,000 for their health care costs. Something has to give in this system, and we're going through this sort of this reality check now, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but typically there's several options. One is the quality of care can decline, as we've seen in other countries. You know, everyone touts Canada or Great Britain for their health care systems, and again, it's more affordable. People do have access But they, their outcomes, when you look at the studies of their outcomes of their medical care, we wouldn't want that. We wouldn't settle for that in this country. We are much, we're used to much better health care results than in those countries. So when things change, quality of care can decline, the prices can come down, you know, or people's incomes are going to go up significantly in order to pay for it. Something has to change. It's not going to go on the way it is because it's unsustainable. We just don't know how it's going to go. The hope is we don't go off a cliff, you know, and typically in the United States we kind of deal with these things gradually, and if you make enough incremental change, small incremental change for a long enough period of time, you can address it. The problem is in the last decade we haven't been able to make even those small incremental change that would have set us on a much better footing, not only in medicine but in all areas of our financial lives.
Yeah, we are... Well, we're going to be heading to, if not a cliff, maybe just a hard wall or something someplace along the way here. I'm not sure.
Then we have to find a doctor and fix our nose.
That's true. You know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, low interest rates, that's helped business, but obviously low interest rates have certainly affect those that are in a retirement in stage. And so they're looking to get a better interest rate to kind of help build their accounts. As you said, you know, if we're going to have to spend a lot of that on health care, where do we make the most money, I guess? And do you have some tips, particularly as it relates to retirement planning with low interest rates?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. The Federal Reserve basically made the decision they would sacrifice people who had saved money. And especially retirees when they're at that point in their lives when they're starting to use that money. And so I was looking at, even for myself, you know, if you look back 5 years ago and you have $1 million, anybody, you know, just pick a number out of the air, but $1 million, if you got 5%, you'd get $50,000 income from that, you know, just in safe treasuries. Well, today, you know, you might get $10,000 if you invested it in long enough maturities. And it's just crushing people who have saved all their lives and has been helping people who are borrowers and debtors. So we've got our whole system is backwards. We've had decades of an educational system that has taught economists that are in control of all these matters the wrong things. You know, Ronald Reagan one time said that, you know, it's not that the left isn't smart and have a lot of knowledge. It's just what they believe is just wrong, you know. And so we've had government run by people who are not really astute in how money really works at the family level. And we've got to correct that. And hopefully in this administration we'll see some of that happening. But for the average person, I tell everybody, look at your standard of living. You know, rarely is it amount. For most people, it's not how much you bring in. It's how much you spend. And I live in a part of the country where an awful lot of people that I know as friends live in mobile homes or, you know, and other types of fixed housing like that. And they're able to make it. But a lot of people would say, oh, I could never, you know, raise my children in a home like that, or it's too small. You know, I have friends that have raised 6 or 7 kids in a family in a home that's 1,000 square feet and sent them off all to college, and they're all in, you know, doing well. So the size of the home is not critical, but we have, even as Christians, bought into the idea that our children have to be fast-paced all the time in activities to prepare them for the next level and get a good job. And we bought into the idea that bigger is better at homes, you know, more cars the better, and it's a lie. And when you live beyond your income, it's always going to produce results that aren't very pleasant. And so I recommend everybody really look at your standard of living. What does it really take for me to live? And to reduce that to a level where you're able to save for retirement and set more money aside for retirement. And another thing is get your debts paid off. You know, a friend of mine, one of my neighbors always says, it's amazing how cheaply you can live if you don't have debt. And there's a lot of truth in that.
Which I think probably brings up, I think it's a question we've had a number of times, I think, when you've been on with us, but it relates to this. So if we're reviewing our standard of living and we look at that big expense of a mortgage, We want to pay off debts. Do we dip into retirement accounts to pay off that mortgage?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get asked that a lot. And I always tell somebody, if peace of mind is such an issue and your job is pretty stable and all those things, I would never dip into it just to pay the mortgage off. But I might do baby steps, you know, take some out and, you know, take some out of a plan, borrow it out, or if you're able to withdraw it, withdraw, you know, and pay the taxes and pay it down. But take, you know, small baby steps to see how that works. But in principle, again, the first place we ought to look is what we can do within our standard of living. How can we change things, even if it means moving to a smaller home and having a smaller mortgage? The peace of mind from having less debt and then eventually being out of debt cannot be underestimated. Anyone that I've ever talked to, business people or people that work for others, and they just had believe they had to have a mortgage and had to have debt, and then they start to reduce debt and eventually pay it off, they say, why didn't I do this sooner? You just can't understand the emotional benefit of having a little debt or no debt. And if we really understood that and worked towards that, most of us would make decisions that would get us there sooner.
You know, speaking of the freedom that comes, peace of mind and from no debt, we don't seem to have any concerns about the trillions of national debt, though. I mean, we need a little less peace of mind about that.
Well, we do when we vote. We need to, we need to be active. We need, you know, Christians of all people ought to understand the economy and how these things work, because God's Word gives us all the principles that we need to know. And the more we study that, the more we can be educated and vote intelligently for programs and for elected officials that are going to lead us in the right direction. But we have to be very careful that we don't ultimately look at that, you know, the government or elected officials, any person, to be the ultimate solver of our problems or the ultimate provider for us, you know, because it's God. Now, God may provide through another person. He may provide through the government, but it's ultimately God. And so living by his principles with the resources that he provides us are not only best, but then voting for candidates and supporting programs that also live out those principles, because in the end, they're going to prove best for everybody involved. Right now, even doing the right thing is going to be challenging, but we need to be able to do it, and Christians of all people ought to know how to vote wisely.
Ken Franke is my guest today, certified financial planner. He's a member of the Financial Planning Association, and he's a founding board member and past chairman of Kingdom Advisors. He has been presenting biblical principles in finance on radio for over 30 years, and we're happy to have him back with us here on Connecting Faith. Our phone lines are open for your calls at 877-933-2484. Giving financial advice today, 877-93-FAITH. Or you can submit your question online. If you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, you can submit your question via email. Lois has submitted a question. Has a question about giving money to our kids as a retiree. And we'll get some insight on that from Ken Franke in just a moment. So stay tuned for more here on Connecting Faith.
And he'll break open the sky.
Talking finances today and getting your money questions answered with Ken Franke. Happy to have you join with us here today. Ken is founder and president of Kenneth Franke & Company. He's been doing biblical principles on finances for a number of years and looking over people's investment accounts. Ken, maybe before we go on, just are you still actively managing, or if people want to find out more, could they connect with you maybe on your website or email?
Yeah, they can email through the website. You know, I at this point in time, I'm more of a cheerleader for the company, but I write our economic newsletter. I kind of enjoy doing that and staying on top of those things and looking at the God's principles that apply to that. So I do those things. But you know, we have 11 children. I mean, 4 children, 11 grandchildren, 2 great grandchildren, and we spent a lot of our time traveling with them, and we're very involved with John Erickson Tata and her ministry. We stay busy.
Good.
But we feel like we're doing the things God called us to do.
Well, speaking of children and grandchildren, leads us nicely into Lois's question. She called in from Coon Rapids. She says, my husband and I are retired. We both have pension plans and Social Security. We want to get something set up where we can give our kids money, but our financial advisor said we can't because the money has already been taxed. Is that true?
Well, Neil, honestly, I don't understand the nature of that question.
Yeah.
Money that's been taxed, you can do anything you want with it. So if you want to give it, you can give it to children tax-free if you stay within the limits of $14,000, each. One of the best ways to – so I don't understand the nature of the question.
Yeah, I'm not sure either if they wanted to set something up maybe on a regular plan. But, I mean, there is the gifting.
Best way, I'll tell you what, one of the best ways you can give money and if they have enough – if they're talking about a large enough amount of money – there are ways to give, rather than, for example, gifting it directly to a child, one of their children or grandchildren, you might be able to pay for their education, and then there's no, there's no benefits to you to do that other than the pleasure of being able to help them, but it also doesn't deduct from any of their other, anything else that they have, and it allows you still to gift them money outright. So paying for an education, paying for part of their education, paying for part of that is often one of the better ways to do that. If somebody's very young and your grandchildren are very young, you can just set up programs where, again, you don't get the deduction. The kids would, if they put the money in. But we've done this with some of our grandchildren, where they've opened up education accounts for them, and Pat and I contribute something to those every year for them. So there are all these avenues. And again, if the children are young enough or grandchildren are young enough, and you have a long enough time, you don't have to contribute large sums of money to have a real impact. But again, always watching your own circumstances. You have to be prepared for uncertainty. And having liquidity of your own to get through, unexpected times, maybe changes in the, a lot of pension plans in the country are in trouble. So you want to make sure, if we had some changes there, are we going to be okay? Social Security's, probably okay. But you have to, just be prepared yourself that for the unexpected. It could be those health situations that you mentioned before, Neil, that can be costly. So you don't want to give away the ranch. If you give wisely, and you don't want to, you don't want to give into a situation that might, and I don't know this, I'm speculating, some people do this, though, where the child or the grandchild has just bad habits, either spending habits or other things, or lazy or whatever it might be, and you don't want to encourage any of that by continuing to support them.
You can give tax-free up to,
$14,000 and for each of you. So, for example, a husband and wife could give $28,000.
Which is, that maybe, I guess, as you're looking at estate planning sort of things, that's not that's something to probably consider, right, as you look at minimizing taxes for that estate as it goes through perhaps.
Yeah, you have to have an awful large estate,
yeah.
Before that becomes a factor. I think the bigger factors are the impact of the giving on whomever you're giving it to. You always like to give enough, whether it's through the estate or in their lifetimes. Maybe they can do something they otherwise wouldn't be able to do, but you sure don't want to give them so much that they don't have to do anything.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of teaching kids or kids that aren't maybe doing well or have bad habits, are there some ways that you've found that you can help your kids develop good spending habits and understanding of finances? As you said, Christians should understand the economy better than anyone else because it's God's principles. You've got grandchildren now. Have you done anything maybe unique for them to help them understand money?
Yeah. Well, we do. Some of ours are older, and so we have sort of a barbell, a bunch of them older and a bunch of them younger. And so what we've seen is it is not, it's interesting. You want to teach them about the mechanics of money. That's really important. But my experience is it's even more important for them to understand fundamental principles about life. and about how to conduct yourself in life, and you know, being prudent, learning to delay gratification, because you can give them all the mechanical things, teach them how to do a checkbook, to, you know, how to open up different accounts, but if they can't delay gratification, they're going to potentially just blow through everything that they either earn or you give them. So yes, it's very important to teach them mechanics, but I think it's even more important to build a foundation for making wise decisions. You know, and that we know comes from the Lord, comes from biblical principles. But I think that's more important. If you do that, the mechanical things will come along. They'll learn them on their own, and anything you do in that area will simply help them apply the wisdom that they've accumulated through your teaching.
Kids heading off to college this time of year, and they'll be given opportunities to, you know, suddenly they'll be getting welcoming letters that say you've been approved for a credit card and all those kinds of things. What advice would you have for parents and soon-to-be college students on watching their spending and caring for their finances?
You know, I always recommend they talk to somebody who's just gotten out of college with $100,000 in debt and can't find a job that they like. And that ought to, you know, sober them up a little bit so they can think a little more. You know, I encourage people, even if it takes another year to go through college, it's better to go through college and come out with as little debt as possible, leaving you flexible, not only in your job choices, but flexible as to where God may call you to serve. If you have large amounts of debt, you may feel called to go into the mission field, but that's just not going to happen, at least while you have that debt. So I think it's important for, again, to understand that you don't have to borrow a lot of money. In fact, you know, most students don't have to go to a fancy school to get a good education. As a matter of fact, most people probably who have been successful in life have gone to a pretty modest college, local college, sometimes a two-year college. They come out of it with relatively little amounts of debt. But they've learned, they studied, they come out of it with skills that are transferable. You know, they can do something with that. Somebody wants to hire them for that. So you don't have to go to a fancy school, and if it takes another year or 2 years to go through to get that degree, to come out with little debt, you know, that's great. And I'd also look for a career or studies that are going to get you a job. You know, we're finding that there's so many people, students of friends of ours, you know, they've gotten liberal arts degrees in history and sociology, and so many of them cannot find jobs in their career choice. So another option, in fact, I consider it a really good option, we've seen this work well for people, is go to a trade school or a technical college and get a two-year degree, but come out of it with a skill that you really are competent with, and you'll likely find a job. Whereas coming out of a four-year college in some degree that isn't very focused, and you may have a very hard time working within a career in that field.
By the way, Lois called back, said that the money she wanted to give was towards their retirement, like an IRA that they already have. So I think she wanted to help maybe set up a retirement or just a way to set up an account for them. I guess, can she, we couldn't set up a Roth IRA for someone else, can we? Or could we do that?
No, you can't set up any retirement accounts for somebody else.
Okay.
They have to do it, but you can contribute to them. You can give them the money to put into those things.
Sure. Okay. All right. Ken, one of the questions that, you know, often comes up is, we're talking about biblical principles of finances and taking a long view and be good stewards. I know financial advisors all the time talk about having some savings, and we're not very good in this country about our savings rate. And people say, well, I'm living check to check. How do I actually build up savings if I'm just barely getting by and the budget is already sort of full without a savings plan?
Yeah. Well, You know, when you're living in that situation, or, you know, or times economically are difficult for other reasons, you know, it could be financial, health, relations, who knows, you know, a lot of things can get our attention. My experience is, at least in my own life, it reveals the idolatry of my heart, you know, and my weak faith, you know. So when I go through a difficult time in the past, you know, it's an opportunity for me to search my heart and see, kind of where my affection lies. And you can fill in the blank. Is it in my house? Is it in my car? Or is it, you know, whatever it might be in, is that affection stronger than my affection for Christ? You know, so where am I really placing my trust? But so it's a great opportunity for somebody to really search their heart and see where they are. And sometimes having a good, mature friend can help you do that. But here's the thing with that. If I really am that tight, and some people are living that way, I understand that. Am I following God's principles with my finances? Now, if I am, and I'm applying them the best of my ability, and you know, I just don't have a lot of debt. I'm trying to live within my means. Well, I may not have to change anything. I may just have to continue in faith, you know, continuing to apply for a longer period of time God's principles. But if I'm not, if there's some area in my life I'm not applying those principles, then I may probably do need to make some adjustments. And again, Christians are the ones who can do that, you know, because we understand that the source of all this is God's. Whatever He has provided through work or other programs, that's the provision for me. He's provided that. What I have to do is learn how to live within that. And when it's really tight, the first thing I look at is my heart. And then the second thing I look at is, well, are there any areas that I can cut back? You know, it's a great opportunity to give up smoking, for example. Maybe somebody needs to give up just a, you know, maybe drink a little bit, get rid of it, maybe buy less beer, you know. There may be other things like that. Maybe they could have a less expensive car or an older car. You know, it's been a tremendous temptation in the last few years. You hardly see old cars on the road. People are buying new cars, and usually those, sometimes it makes a lot of sense. Many times it does with the prices of them now, but maybe it's better to have an older car that just costs a lot less for you to operate, and that might make the difference. You just got to look at all those areas, and again, maybe somebody can help you with that. Doesn't have to be a professional. You know, it could be a good friend that you see maybe manages their money a little bit more. It looks like from the outside at least that, all right, they've got extra money here and there at the end of the month. I wonder what they do that's different than I'm doing. And sit down and talk to them. Learn from somebody else.
I noted you used the phrase a longer period of time, and I think that's always kind of the challenge, isn't it, where we get into trouble over a period of time, and to get out, it doesn't just happen overnight generally.
No, it doesn't, and I've had to learn in my life that God uses, most of the time He uses hard things and mistakes that I make to conform me into His image. You know, He changes my character and rubs off the hard edges, not when things are going great, but when things are challenging. And I think we have to look at that. Christians have to look at the hard things in life, the challenges, the heartaches, the pain, differently than the secular world does. You know, if all you're living for is yourself, and something happens now that your quality of life is affected by it, well, what hope do you have? But as Christians, we can look at all these things as nothing ever comes to us. Nothing ever comes to us apart from the hand of God. And if we look at it that way and realize that all these things are to grow us up, to make us mature in Christ, and we look at it that way, we have reason to have hope for the future. And again, we talked about this earlier, maybe off air, that eternity is our ultimate home. And a good friend of mine, Bob Dole, always says, live your life as if you're passing through, because that's the truth. We are passing through, and we have to have that eternal perspective when we're looking at these hard times in life, when it just seems like we're not making the progress we want to make in a certain area.
This world is not my home. We're just passing through, getting some good long-term perspective on finances, being good stewards with Ken Franke today. Ken, founder and president of Kenneth Franke & Company. He's a certified financial planner and was the original, the past chairman of Kingdom Advisors, a founding board member, and he's with us today to talk money questions. You have some questions, you can join the conversation at 877-933-2484. Ken's with us for another segment here, and so we'll take your calls right up until the top of the hour, 877-933-2484. If you want to submit your question online, you go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. You can submit your question that way. We'll get to talk a little bit about the planning ahead versus trusting God to provide, and more on some of the big questions, concerns that we have in our finances. Just ahead with Ken Franke. Ted, was that a little kind of bumper just for the eclipse or Lost in Darkness?
Yeah, maybe.
So we're,
Dad works that out sometimes.
Sure. Heading that direction. So we're joking with Ken Frankie, who he and his wife live near Asheville, North Carolina. Well, they're kind of that's one of the central areas where the eclipse is most notable. So he wanted to stay inside. You didn't really want to be out driving around, looking around anyway today, right, with all the thousands of people coming through the area.
Trying to avoid all of that. But we're going to go out. I'm going to go out on my deck afterwards, and we're going to watch the we're going to get a little over 99% of it here.
That's be very impressive. So good for you. So, well, you know, one of the things that I think we're kind of joking at the beginning of the show that, you know, when events like this happen, sometimes we think, well, we should be planning for catastrophe sort of thing. And oftentimes you hear advertisements for gold, you know, that's, you know, the only safe investment. Do you have a policy on, you know, how much gold we should invest in or things like that, precious metals of other kinds?
You know, that's a great question. You know, and we get that asked that a lot. And I kind of make it a habit of looking at how different types of investment strategies work out over time. And, you know, almost anything will work out if you give it enough years. You know, if you live on less than you earn for long enough, almost everybody can become financially independent. It's just a question of, you know, how long that is. And, you know, so you can look at gold and see some over a long time that it's done really well. The problem with gold, and I do believe that, you know, we live in uncertain times. You know, I would tell someone never to have more than 10%, you know, in gold, and 5% maybe is a better figure to have something in there. If you look at long-term performance of stocks and bonds and hard assets and things like that, if you have a pretty good mix of those and kind of adjust to that portfolio back to your original mix every year, it'll generally do better than any one of those things would have on its own. But the problem with all of those, when you put too much money in them, is the volatility. Gold can be extremely volatile. And many of those assets that are designed to protect us in downtimes come with a lot of volatility, and it's very hard to predict those downtimes. And that's why having large percentages are probably, in my opinion, shooting us in the foot most of the time, but having a reasonable amount in different asset classes, to me, is good diversification. Ecclesiastes 11, give portions to 7 or 8. But you want to keep it in something that you can afford to live with the volatility. If you can't do that, then I would stay away from, you know, those alternative types of investments.
Well, we oftentimes, I think, as Christians wonder, all right, how do we balance planning ahead versus trusting God to provide? And it seems like maybe those conversations come up when we're thinking about, well, do we care for our family or do we give generously?
Yeah. especially when we understand that we're to do both, you know, in the right circumstances, you know. You know, I always think of different things. You know, Proverbs 11:25, you know, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You know, we get things that seem to conflict sometimes. Proverbs 21:5, I think it's 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. We are to plan. Proverbs 27, I forget what the verse, but it says, a prudent man sees danger, hides himself. The naive proceed and reap the consequences. You know, how do you blend all those things together? Well, I've come to the conclusion that I don't worry about outcomes anymore. And I choose to be obedient. And there is a time when you have needs within your family that maybe you can't save as much, or maybe you can't even give as generously as you'd like. You can't tie it to your church or something because you have family needs. I see that among my friends that have special needs children, very costly, and they aren't able to do things that maybe other people can because they have so many costs with their children. So there are situations where I'm not going to be able to save more. I'm not going to be able to invest in different, and I can't give as generously as I would like to. But the key is always to look at your heart, and maybe you can make adjustments in your lifestyle, be able to meet the needs of the children, but also adjust your lifestyle so you can continue to give to God's kingdom. You can give him as he asks. And you know, in Malachi, it tells you you're robbing. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And I don't take tithe as a legalism in the New Testament, but the point is, being generous is a core Christian heart attitude. But we can only be generous within God's provision. We just have to make sure that when we are doing things that don't allow us to give as generously as we would like because of our legitimate needs, that there aren't other things in our lives that we couldn't be cutting back so that we could also be giving more generously.
Ken, we got a few minutes left here, about three or so, but I wanted to get back to a phone call. Joe Ellen from Waterloo had called and said, what's the best way to put money away for grandchildren until they're 18 years old so no one can touch it except for them?
Yeah. Well, there are different ways you can do that. Depending on the amount of money, sometimes, putting them into individual trusts. But you can also put into different savings accounts. There are education accounts in different states. States have, there's about three different kinds that you can go to. And I would find out what you can do in your state and how much you can contribute, and make sure it's, an amount. There's some that are relatively low level. Others have a larger amount, so you want something that will fit in with your giving plans and your ability. But find out which is available in your state, how much you can give to it, and access that the, how much access do the grandchildren have. Most of them will have access when they become an age of maturity. And that's why a lot of people sometimes don't even do that. They may just set that money aside in some other accounts and then give it to them as they need it, or if they have enough money, might set up a trust that won't even distribute it until a later age. A lot of things to think about. Good thing to have, get counsel from a multitude of counselors to think what is best for your grandchildren.
You know, that does bring up a question. I know that you were one of the original board members of Kingdom Advisors. Getting wise counsel, I think that's always, lots of people are in your field, gladly. But so any tips on how do we find a wise counselor?
Well, the two things that I look for in counseling for a counselor would be ideally a Christian, a mature Christian who applies what he talks about in his own life and in his practice. That'd be one thing. And the other thing, I have a bias towards fee-only advice, where you're paying somebody for their opinion as opposed to them having to sell you something in order to make money on, to get some money out of the relationship. Now, there's nothing morally wrong with selling you something they earn a commission on. I don't want to suggest that at all. But if you pay someone for their advice and that's how they're compensated, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to think. There's no opportunity for even thinking about, well, why are they selling me this or recommending this particular thing. So I would look for a Christian. Kingdom Advisors has about 4,000 members across the country, and they get regular training every year in applying God's principles to finance and their own practices. And my experience is, and every organization has better people and not as good people in it. But my experience with Kingdom Advisors is that most of the people I've come in contact through that organization sincerely love the Lord, apply His principles in their own lives, and desire to help other people apply them in their lives. So that's a place to go. But not all Kingdom Advisors planners are fee only. That's just my particular bias, but I'm sure you can find one through that organization.
Ken, always good to talk with you again. Thanks for your wisdom, your counsel and advice, and wish you well as you continue to enjoy your children and grandchildren, and don't look directly in the sun.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate you so much.
Ken Franke joining us today, certified financial planner, talking financial advice. Hey, you may want to pass this on to a friend or listen to it again. You can find our interviews. We post them all on the show page at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.